This is Fresh Air. We continue our 30th anniversary salute to The Simpsons by revisiting Terry's 2003 interview with Nancy Cartwright, who has been the voice of Bart Simpson from the very start. She's aged over 30 years since she started doing Bart, but Bart remains a child and Cartwright remains convincing. When Terry spoke with Cartwright in 2003, she told Terry about auditioning for The Simpsons.
So I went in and shook Matt Groening's hand, and I said, you know, I'm here to read for Lisa, but I saw the part for Bart, and I'd rather read for him. Do you mind? And he said, no, it's fine. So I gave him one shot, one take, one sound, one voice, and that was it. Blah, 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 blah. And Matt, his eyebrows went up, his tongue came out of his mouth. He's like, oh, my God, that's him, that's Bart, that's him. You got the part. And I was given the part on the spot.
So there's nothing conscious going on when you do the voice. It just came to you.
Yeah. It just, no kidding. When I saw the picture, it really helps when you get the visual image of what the character looks like. Because sometimes you might have a character whose jaw is sticking out a little bit more on the bottom than it is on the top. And he's got this sort of, there's a placement there. So you know that his lower teeth would be sticking out a little bit farther. So that would help in creating a character. Or say you've got a 7-year-old kid who's got a split in his two front teeth. Or he's missing one of his teeth at age 7.
So he would be talking sort of like this, and you can put a sort of a sound in there, sort of like that little actress that played on Mrs. Doubtfire. So I can steal from, you know, Mara Wilson, I think was that little actress's name, and I totally ripped that off from her. When I go to the mall or just, you know, people watching, or I go to movies and watch television, I'm inspired by live action actors and recognizing sounds and trying to duplicate that. So I come up with an arsenal of characters in my head so then I can then at the next audition give them more options.
Well, why don't you describe who Nelson is and how you came up with his voice?
Well, Nelson, he was a bad boy, and I had to read the script because there's not much of a description in the script. It might say bad boy, but it didn't go into detail on it. So by reading the script and, you know, putting that in context, I realized he was just this, he was a thug. He was bigger physically than Bart. So he was also, I believe Nelson Muntz is a little bit older, even though he's in the fourth grade. But I just ended up coming up with the sound that I think Nelson has sort of evolved, and it came to the point where he eventually got a really, really rough sound like that. And he has got a really, really hard R's. And I don't know, that's how that sound came. And the laugh, the ha-ha, let me just say it for ha-ha, that was written in the script as it just said, I think it actually just said ha-ha. And I don't know, if somebody else would have been cast as that, they would have come up with their own idea of what that would sound like. But when I did that, it got an instant laugh, and so that stuck. And because I think it got that laugh, the writers put a little asterisk or a little star beside that, and they know that later on they can do that again, and hopefully it'll continue to get a laugh. And it's through trial and error and through experimenting. I don't think anybody said, let's create a signature laugh for Nelson Muntz. Do you know what I mean? It's just something that sort of evolved. And I find that fascinating, too, in looking at the development of The Simpsons, that a lot of choices that we had the opportunity to make, they were just opportunities that we had. Nobody was going out there and saying, wow, when I do this, this is going to become a catchphrase. Next thing you know, this is, smell you later, that people are going to be saying that, you know?
When you do that gruff, like, Nelson voice, does that hurt your vocal cords at all? Like, is there a way of doing that without it hurting?
You know, he truly is he's the most challenging in terms of my vocal cords, but throughout the years and the 400-plus episodes that we've done so far, Nelson has only really been a lead character or citizen in a hand, you know, in just maybe a couple or three. One of my favorite ones was when it was that tribute when he came home and Marge really kind of took him under his wing and he sang that song. It was a tribute to, it was a play on Yentl. I don't know if I can do it.
Oh.
Papa, can you hear me? Singing to his father. Because his father, like, left to go get cigarettes or milk or something at the Quickie Mart. He never came. Papa, is that you? Is that you? Oh, Papa.
Is there ever a time when you're given a script and you're thinking, I really need to see a visual to get what's going on here, to get what Bart is actually experiencing?
Wow, that's another great question. No, actually, no, but I think partially is that especially after all these years, we can totally visualize what's going on. But you just got to do your homework. You just got to be prepared and know that if Bart is, you know, on a skateboard or he's like riding his bicycle over a cliff and down a hill, that there's going to be you know, and I just visualize it and like, how many seconds of this do you want? Well, make it a little bit longer. Do it again, but make it longer. Nancy, you know what? This isn't a show about him riding, you know, his bicycle over a cliff. Just cut it. Like, you got to cut that about. Just give me about a tenth of that. Yeah, okay, good. No problem. Because I don't know about the length of time for the animation.
You said earlier that, you know, when like a lot of friends of yours who have children or, you know, people you're just meeting who have children will introduce the kids to you and say, this is Nancy Cartwright, and she does the voice of Bart. And then they'll expect you to do the voice of Bart for the kids. What about your own kids? I mean, they grew up while you were doing The Simpsons. Did they do like Mommy, Mommy, do Bart for us?
As a parent, you kind of wonder what kind of influence you have on your kids in everything that you're doing, whether it's traveling, you know, to different countries or whatever. But when my son Jack was 2 years old, they had come out with a Bart Simpson. It was a prototype to see if the talking Bart doll would work. But the string on the thing was a little short, so it sort of sounded like Bart on helium, because it would be like, "Don't have a cow, man. Don't have a cow, man." But my son would pull the string, and it would say that, and he'd look at the string, and then he'd look at me. He'd pull it again, "Don't have a cow, man," and he'd look at me, and he'd said to me, "Mommy, I don't see you in there. I don't see you in there." He's 2 years old. I'm telling you, that is a concept. Parents will come up to me, and you know, I know that they want to hear me do the voice. But there's a three-year-old clutching onto Mama's skirt, and they're saying, "Could you do it for Sally? Could you do it?" And I'm thinking, I'll just tell the parent, I don't have anything vested in this for a three-year-old kid that looks scared to death. If I was to lean down and say, "Hi, I'm Bart Simpson. Who the hell are you?" You think that kid is going to like it? The kids look at me like I'm, you know, an alien, or they get upset. So I'll just say, "Look, I'll do it for you, but I'm not going to do it for your child. I just think that's wrong.
Why do the kids get so upset?
Well, it's too big of a concept. They're looking at this woman who, they might watch The Simpsons, but a child, I really think that they are watching it through a child's eyes, and they enjoy the colors and they like the different expressions and emotions that they see. Whereas a teenager will cull something totally different out of that. They will start to recognize references. And of course, adults, I mean, we can get the satire and we can get more, you know, of history and even more references than a teenager would get. So there's a whole cross-generational span of The Simpsons that entertains those audiences. But a kid, I don't know, man. I don't know how old I was before I realized that those sounds came from actors. It's a concept that's pretty, you know, I'd say five and under. Just, this is a gross generalization. There are exceptions to the rule, no doubt about it. But generally speaking, I use some discretion on who I just throw that voice to.
Well, Nancy Cartwright, it's just been so much fun to talk with you. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, you bet.
Actress Nancy Cartwright speaking to Terry Gross in 2003. For 30 years, Nancy has played Bart Simpson. And for just as long, our next guest, Julie Kavner, has provided the voice of Bart's mother, Marge Simpson. Terry spoke with her in 1994.
So how do you change your voice to become Marge?
I roughen it up and I raise it a bit. I raise it an octave or so.
Can you do a little
more? Well, it's just kind of up there like that and a little more tired.
Right. Now, does it hurt your voice to do that?
Not at all. The sisters, on the other hand, the two twin sisters, are an octave lower. Do I have a range or what, Terry?
You want to do one of the sisters?
Well, they happen to be my favorites.
Oh, that's great. You have a wonderful voice. Was your voice husky when you were young?
Yeah, I was born this way. I came out of my mom and said, "Hello, Rose. Hello, Dave."
But did you have a deep voice when you were young?
Yeah, they used to send me home. They always used to think I had laryngitis.
Oh, the nurses? Or?
Mm-hmm.
You have a very New York voice, but you grew up in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, Rose and Dave, who I just mentioned to you, my
parents,
they're from New York, and they taught me how to speak English, you see. So that's why I sound like this, as opposed to something lovely.
Julie Kavner, the voice of Marge Simpson, speaking to Terry Gross in 1994.